Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Hey, it's spring. Today's the first day of spring. Very important first day of spring. Everybody should eat pasta primavera today, however you make it. First day of spring. Oh, let's hope, eh? Let's hope it really happens. The daffodils come rushing through and the tulips and crocus and all the good stuff. We're here to you today to talk about how people can get along better with other people. What do you do when someone you care about seems angry with you and you know it's not your fault? What do you do when someone you know is angry with you, someone you love, somebody you care about, even if it's a coworker, and they act as if they're angry with you or they express anger towards you, but you know you're not at fault? Has this happened to you? Somebody you work with or you live with just gets nasty, demeaning they could be, critical of you, overly critical. Why did you do that? You made a mess, right? Your nose looks funny. Things that they could do. Or just nasty, you know, they could be stonewalling you, they could ignore you. No matter what you say to them, they just don't talk to you. Or they could be defiant. Whatever you say, they say the opposite of. Do you ever get this in an argument? I know people in arguments who do this a lot. Every time you say something, they say the opposite. So even if you say, and I've had patients who do this, who are in this argumentative mood, and I'll say to them, it seems that no matter what I'm saying to you, you're saying the opposite to me. You're disagreeing with me and saying it's not true no matter what I'm saying. And they say, that's not true. Do you ever have that happen to you? Mocking, people who mock you. Oh, does that feel terrible? Scornful. They may even humiliate you in front of other people, you know, like they don't say anything to you, but when you're with other people, you know, they say something to you like, Lucy could lose a couple of pounds too. Especially if you're Lucy. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's Positive Mind. Or they could get sarcastic, negative. The kind of treatment you do to somebody you dislike, especially like you might have done in elementary school or high school. Remember when you were when certain groups of kids were nasty to other groups of kids? That kind of thing. What do you do when someone acts like they can't stand you? Almost like you disgust them. That's kind of the feeling you get sometimes. They look at you with disdain and terrible feeling. Now, this can happen in a lot of different ways. A reason that someone is angry with you, one of the reasons a person can be expressing anger towards you is that they're angry all the time. Chronic anger. You know, chronic anger. If they're angry all the time, if they're the folks who blame everybody for everything all the time, and they're angry at everybody. Angry at everybody, and they're angry at you. And this is the way they are. This is the way they wake up. This is the way they go to sleep at night. They get angry at the bed. They get angry at the sun when it comes in the morning. They get angry at the air. They get angry at the government. They get angry at religion. They get angry at everybody. These are just downright ornery people. I'm not talking about them. Because those people, they clearly, you know, have a psychiatric disorder. They've got something wrong. And it could be psychological, but it could also be physical. I mean, they could have a tumor on the brain. They could have a disease. They could have a drop in their or hormones. Something could be wrong with them. But the ones who are angry all the time, we're not talking about them because you can't reason with them. There's nothing you could do. Their anger is chronic. And it's almost like they're a wounded bird who feels defenseless in the world, and the way that it's going to protect itself is to keep barking. Well, birds don't bark, but yelling at everybody, right? It's going to keep pecking at everybody around. It's going to keep everybody at a distance, barking birds. Then there are the people who get angry on a regular schedule. It could be a monthly schedule, right, of some sort. You know, guys get sensitive just at a certain time of the month when the full moon is out, and they could become lunatics. Or sometimes when they drink alcohol. Sometimes people get real nasty when they drink alcohol. They could, you know, cocaine is known for that. I'm not talking about them either. We're not going to talk about people who are affected by either episodic monthly hormonal stuff or alcoholic or drug-induced stuff. Not that. Or we could be talking about a child who does what we call a meltdown. You know, the kid is tired or hungry and has a drop in blood sugar, and the next thing that you know, they start getting nasty and yelling, and you're the mother or father, and you see your kid melting down. Well, we're not really talking about them, but we could talk about them because they're kind of involved in this. Because you can manipulate a child into getting out of their anger. You could do it. I mean, you could feed them. You know, you could do any number of things. Okay, what do you do? Today we're going to talk about it. Today we will not address this chronic anger. You know, we're going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about the monthly anger. That's another kind of thing. But we could include it. The knowledge you're going to get today may help you in dealing with those as well. I'm talking about the kind of irrational anger that occurs when a person blames you for something you never did or something you did in complete innocence. Like when someone blames you and gets angry over a dinner you prepare. You prepare a dinner and it tastes funny, right? Now, you spent your time preparing this dinner. It tastes funny. It's not your fault. I mean, it may be your fault, but you spent your time making the dinner. How do they get angry at you for this? How does someone get angry at you for that? Or sometimes you forget to do something. How does somebody get angry with you if you forget to clean their socks? You know? So how do you deal with that? You know, you go shopping, or when a child gets angry, or because you won't acquiesce to their wishes or desires, you know, mommy, why don't you get me that toy? And you won't get them the toy, and then they get angry at you. That kind of stuff. That's the stuff we're talking about. Or if your husband comes home from work and he starts being nasty and abusive, or your wife just seems totally irritable and she gets nasty with you, or your brother, your sister, or a coworker, the person in the booth next door acts nasty towards you, and you say, ah, what am I going to do about this? It's nothing I did. Well, how do you deal with this kind of anger? Well, this is the kind of thing we're going to explore, my friends, because you need tools. You need tools because I'm not at the mercy of it too much. You know, people tend not to get that kind of angry with me because, you know, I see through it. So maybe you could see through it. What do you do once that you realize that the anger that is facing you is unjust? Right? So what are the things you could do? You could get angry back, right? You could get right back even with them. You can feel it and then get mad at them right away. That's one thing you could do. Or you could cry. Or you could ignore them. Or you could manipulate them. Now, the manipulation is an effort to disarm the artificial anger. You see, you want to disarm it. You want to kind of take it away. So the manipulation here is not a bad word. Like, for example, if you saw a puppy or a kitten who was hissing at you, right? So you bring some food to the kitten. And the kitten is hissing at you and doesn't know you and you're a stranger and you bring it some food and it eats the food and now you can pet its head. You disarmed it. You know, you taught the kitten, you know, here's something nice. So you manipulate any way you could. That's a possibility. One way is to get the person out of their anger. You know, you could say to a person, let's go to a movie. Let's do something. Even if they're angry, you don't buy it. You know, you can even use sex. Many people do that to kind of disarm the person. You know, hey, let's go have a good time. That's what people do. I mean, couples do that. We have to look at it a little more closely. Step one, the most important ingredient in dealing with somebody who is angry with you, who you care about, or you want to cooperate with, but if they're confronting you or nasty with you, the first thing you do is you do not react with anger. Now, sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you're a tough guy, you know? Like you just grew up, and where I grew up, if somebody gets angry, you get to get angry back. That's just the way it is. You had no choice. We were stupid. We were just automatics. If somebody pushed your button, you pushed their button back. But that's the first line. That's the line of the least intelligent. That is, they get angry at you, you get angry back. What could you do? You fight back. Anger plus anger equals two angers. That makes sense. Anger times anger equals anger squared. The square root of anger is 3.1415. No, just enough of that. Anyway, do not react to anger with anger. If you love somebody, this does no good. It escalates, and sometimes meaningless frustrations turn into hurtful words which make a permanent scar on the heart. You don't want to use those hurtful words. Now, you can overpower somebody. Somebody's acting nasty, nasty, nasty. Sometimes you could use a loud voice, vocally expressed anger to shout them down. You know, they're doing the kind of niggly kind of anger, you know, this kind of moderate stuff. They're being nasty or they're being critical of you. And then you could just scream at them at the top of your lungs. And gee, you know, their little anger gets overpowered by your big anger. Sometimes you could do that. But when they're in this angry thing where they're coming right at you, do not try to greet it back, because it's very hard for it to work. The only way you can get it to work is to truly overpower it by using that system. And you don't want to go there, because that very often begets violence. You know, anger on top of anger divided by the square root. Okay. But how do you not react? How do you not react if you're attacked? How do you not react? What do? Well, here's option number two. And I'm not saying it's what you should do, but I want you to think about it. This is Armand DeMille, in case you just tuned in, with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, trying to save you heart attacks, strokes, all the other events that happen with not understanding yourself. Try to understand your own self. It's a good thing. Understand your reactions. It's a good thing. Well, here's the second thing you could do. You could cry. Somebody hurts you, you could weep. Now, this sounds weird, doesn't it? It's such a funny thing. People who get angry at other people never expect them to cry. You get nasty at somebody, you never expect the tears are going to come to their eyes. You never expect it. You think you're going to get away with it, you know? You shout at somebody, you don't expect them to well up. You expect them to fight back. But if someone hurts you, even with words, it is natural to express the pain that comes to the anger. You see, it's natural. If somebody hurts you, somebody hits you, you get a bruise. It hurts. You go, ouch. First thing, ouch. You know? Somebody yells at you. Somebody calls you a name. Somebody gets angry at you for no reason. It's natural to cry. But, you know, we men don't cry, right? We're not going to take the natural way. Of course, most people fear that what would happen if they showed their pain, which is not what I'm suggesting, by the way, it's just one of the options we have, is what happened to them as children. Now, get this, what happens to abused children. This is one of the great human traumas. I said trauma. What happens to them as children? To some people, they get hit. And then while they're being hit, they're told not to cry. Don't cry. How about this? I'll give you something to cry about. Don't cry. Now, why do you think parents tell kids not to cry when they're punishing them? Why do parents do that? Don't you want the kid to cry? If you're going to punish them, don't you want them to feel the pain? Or are you trying to get them not to feel the pain? You know? What's the idea? Don't cry. What are you afraid that if you cried, I might feel what I'm doing to you? I might start taking account of it. I might start saying, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm hitting my little child who I love. And they're crying. I'm really hurting them. No, don't cry. So don't cry so I can hit you more. Well, that might have happened when you were a kid, but we're not kids anymore. So if someone who we love gets mad at us, or even if someone we don't love gets mad at us, you could weep. Yep, you could. Imagine this scenario. Imagine if your boss yells at you and you weep. Tears well up in your eyes. He would be floored. And, of course, would not fire you. He couldn't possibly fire you. I don't mean you should break down in hysterical crying, but he yells at you, you did this piece of work wrong. And you let tears fill your eyes because that's probably what you really feel. Or you could be, you know, like certain people, I know you just defend yourself. The reason I did that was blah, 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 blah. The reason to make up excuses right away. Or you could lie, I didn't do it, John did it, right? Or you could get angry back. You shouldn't talk to me in that tone of voice, which is right, you shouldn't, but you could get angry back. Or you could overpower them, you yell at me like that and I'm going to punch you in the nose. Or you could cry. Now, this is kind of interesting, because if your boss yelled at you and you cried, he would be floored, he'd fall on his bottom. Imagine if he had to, how could he fire you? Imagine if he had to go to his superiors and he had to explain, I yelled at her and she cried. That's why I'm firing her. Imagine if you took him to court. Just picture this. You take him to court where there's a woman judge. And the guy was, well, the reason I fired her is because I yelled at her and she cried. You know, you'd be happy to get out of there with all your parts intact. So the most natural response to pain is hurt. The next response to block the hurt is to get angry in response. But I want to make a case for showing the pain between couples. I want to make a case for people showing the pain. You know, it's a funny thing. When somebody yells at somebody in a workplace, the person who cries, people gather around the person who cries, and they get angry at the person who did the yelling. So even though it's a natural reaction, it's also kind of works at disarming the bullies. But that's not the idea. The idea, if you're in love with someone and they hurt you, is to show them that they hurt you. And it's a funny thing. It disarms them. When they see your tears, they crack. So the most natural response to pain is hurt. The next response is to help block the anger, and that's what people do, is they get angry in return. Well, once anger begets anger, and once you have two angry people yelling at each other, that everybody gets stupid. Here's a good hypothesis. Everybody who is nasty is a scared child. So imagine if you went around and you saw an angry person who was yelling at people and you said, what are you afraid of? Well, if you could get through their wrath, they would tell you what they're afraid of. If I were to address every person I ever met who I've seen angry and said to them, what are you afraid of? They would tell you what they're afraid of. I mean, sometimes it requires anger to get heard. Let's say you're on a protest march. Let's say you don't like what's going on in this country. Let's say you want to stand up and fight against the injustices in Haiti or anywhere in this world, and you want to stand up and you want to fight against it, and you do it vociferously and with anger, and you scream and you yell. do what's right, do what's just. You know, let's say you're doing that. Well, you're using your anger, and what's behind it is a fear. There's a fear, not just an act of justice. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of a world that does this. I'm afraid of a government that goes taking away people's freedoms. I'm afraid of it. I mean, there's fear behind the anger. But we usually don't acknowledge that. We usually acknowledge the justice and the anger as part of something just. But there's always fear in there somewhere. If you get anybody you know who's really angry, you could say to them, what frightens you? What frightens you? Come on, Steph, what frightens you? What's it about? And they'll melt if you love them. Now, one of the things you can't do is become a shrink. This is no good. Let's say you know a guy just talked to his mother. Then he hangs up the phone from his mother and he turns around at you and you're his lady friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, any friend. And he yells at you. And he just hung up the phone with his mother and he yells at you. And you know that the reason he's angry at you is because he's really angry at his mother and he's taking it out on you. Well, you know, when things go like this and they go blind, you cannot expose the truth. It doesn't work. You can't say, the reason you're mad at me is because you're mad at your mother. You know, then they get twice as mad at you because they're trying to hide the truth from themselves. So people who tend to act out, imagine, you know, teenagers who are destroying property and things like that. Well, they're angry at something else. They're not angry at the property. You know, when somebody decides to rip a room apart or destroy a park bench, which I've seen recently, you know, you what are you doing to that bench? Why? Well, you're mad at somebody else. You're not mad at the bench. You know, you imagine going over them and saying, you know, kitty, you got troubles with your father. Well, you'll become their father next. They come right after you. But they're not going to welcome. Nobody welcomes psychological insight that goes beneath their passions when they feel passionate about something. No, you've got to kind of invite them out of it. You've got to kind of invite them out of it. You've got to say, oh, you're really, really angry? Okay. First thing you do is validate them. You say, I recognize and I acknowledge, and you say, I see you. I recognize you're very angry at that. Yes, you're very upset by that. Oh, I see you got really upset by the dinner. You know? And then you think to yourself, okay, now here they are. They're overreacting to me having put broccoli in the salad when they wanted eggplant. They're overreacting. Now, then you have a choice. If you love the person, you don't care. I mean, what do you? You're not wrong. So you could turn around and say, I'm sorry I put broccoli in the salad instead of eggplant. You could look at them and really look at them with all the sincerity in the world and say, geez, I won't put broccoli in the eggplant in the salad ever again if you like eggplant. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. It's that simple sometimes. It's that simple because what you're doing in your heart is you're forgiving them. You're forgiving them for getting angry at you because you know you're not the target. So sometimes you let people have the room, and if people scream at you and say, you're unjust, you're wrong, there's something wrong with you, you know, and you did this to me because you're being malicious, sometimes you could just apologize. I mean, not that, you know, is it being untrue to yourself to apologize? Well, when somebody is angry at you for something you didn't do, it's the whole situation is wacky. So you use wacky to disarm wacky. I forget what movie it was in. It was, oh, I know it was, I think it was one of those, well, it was one of those crime movies where the guy, the way he disarmed criminals, was he put his hat on backward and he made funny faces. I mean, he turned it into something, you know, when criminals would be facing him and they're threatening him or it was a hostage situation, he would just act goofy. Now, did that make him a dishonest man? Well, yeah, but he was disarming craziness by doing something. So these are some of the techniques he can use. This is just another one, is to apologize. And now I'm going to give you magic words. Magic words. And then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to take your calls, and then I'm going to give you more information about this. Okay? The magic words, you should write these down. Exactly as I tell you, my friends. Get a pencil. Well, you see, you're not getting a pencil. I'm going to give you a weapon. Here's a tool. Here's an instrument. You got a pencil? Now get your paper. Get it ready to write it down. Don't think you're going to remember it. There is something I seem to be doing. Write that down. There is something, I seem to be doing that's pissing you off. You could say making you angry, but pissing you off is better. Can you tell me what it is? Okay, there is something that I seem to be doing that is pissing you off. Can you tell me what it is so I could stop it? So I could stop it. These exact words. This is magic. Stop, can, stop it. Let me see if you wrote it down. Can, stop it. Okay, there is something I seem to be doing that's pissing you off. Can you tell me what it is so I could stop it? Oh, my gosh, what a powerful thing this is. What a powerful thing. You don't rephrase this. Don't change the words. Because what you're saying to somebody is, you seem bent out of shape, and you have me targeted. So tell me what it is that I'm doing that is making you feel this way. Now, you see, a lot of times when people are angry, they don't want to admit that their anger is meaningless, that they're just bent out of shape. They don't want to admit that. This brings them down to it. So what you do is you surrender, you roll over. There seems to be something that I'm doing that's pissing you off. Can you tell me what it is so I can stop doing it? I'll stop doing anything that's causing you to get this angry. Because in truth, I would. If the person said, well, stop waving that knife above your head. Well, okay, I'll stop waving this knife above my head. You know. What else? Stop yelling at me with garlic on your breath. Okay, I'll take some pills. But they may tell you something like, you know, what they'll usually do is they get flustered. It's just your general attitude, they will say to you, and you say, well, whatever it is. But try not to mock them when you're doing it. Try not to show them that they're a fool. Try not to say to them, you know, okay, tell me specifically what I did and what time did I do it and how did I do it and do you remember when I didn't do it? No, none of that. None of that. You're gonna take this one on. You're going to give yourself no weapons. And you're just going to say to them the following words, my friends, this is magic. Like I told you before, statazit, that's one kind of magic. Here's the other kind of magic. There is something that I seem to be doing that is pissing you off. Can you please tell me what it is so I could stop doing it? Easy enough. Hey, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to play you some magical music given to me by Ralph. Thank you, Ralph. And it's one of those things you really love to sing. It's a song you love to sing when somebody who's very angry leaves the field. You know, like when they go away or they quit a job, when you got a nasty person at a job and then they quit the job. This is a song you would want to sing to them, but you'll hear it right after our station identification. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
We are so wet, so gospel choir. And you are listening to BAI New York, BAI New York, San Manali.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Armando Mill with you as a positive mind. That's the work of Carl Earl Klug, K-L-U-G-H, Earl Klug, from his album Naked Guitar. Very sweet. This is Armando Mill with you with the positive mind. We're talking about anger. We're talking about people who get angry with you, and they don't seem to be justified. And so, how do you handle them? Well, here's one thing that's very important. You do have to ask yourself, could it possibly be true? Could what they're saying annoys them possibly be true? Am I really doing something that is making them angry because, and I don't know I'm doing it? Like, for example, passive-aggressive anger. You're always late for something. And you're always late, and you're always late, and you're always late. No matter what time you agree to show up, you're late. Right? You say, I'm going to be there at 8:30, you show up at 9 o'clock. You say you're going to be there at 9 o'clock, you show up at 9:15. Now, that is something that when you think about your own, you say to yourself, well, it's the traffic. You know, it was the plane, it was the taxi cab, or it was her fault, or she didn't tell me what time. And you get all kinds of stuff like that, you know, but really, that's called passive-aggressive anger. It's one of the ways that people who are angry, people who don't feel comfortable showing their anger, reflect their anger by making another person powerless because they're waiting for you. So it's a way of getting even. Now, you see, you wouldn't know that. Otherwise, you know, if you said, I'm going to be late for this appointment, I'm really angry at the person, then you wouldn't be late. So really, passive-aggressive anger is something that is very difficult to expose to yourself because you don't want to see yourself as angry. But, you know, if someone said to you, you're always angry, and it gets me angry, you're always late, and you're late again, and we missed the train, you're late again, and we can't go to the theater, or you're late again, and, you know, we can't get our stuff done, and I'm angry about that. Well, you know, you got to think about it for a little bit and say to yourself, is it possible that what they're saying is just? So that's a possibility. So another way to deal with anger when people are angry with you, and this is a very good thing, is to say, you know, I want to think about that. I hear what you're saying. I want to think about it. I want to consider that. Whatever you're saying, you know how to, you're going to run this company into the ground. You're always doing the wrong projects, you know. And instead of responding to somebody at the moment, say, I want to think about it. Give me a little while to think about that before I respond to you. And during that time, you know, you actually disarm them, number one. You validate them, number two, because you, in a way, are saying, I hear what you have to say. And the third thing you do is you actually take into consideration that what they may be saying may be valid. Because it can't be that, you know, people get, if the same people get angry at you, or if different people get angry at you over and over again about the same thing, then you got to be suspicious about yourself. That maybe you're doing something that's creating this. So that's one. So you have to ask yourself, could it possibly be true? The other thing, you could take some time with a person and say, I want to think about what you're saying. I'm not sure, but I'm not going to think about it right here. I'm going to think about it on my own time, and I want to see it, and I'll come back to you with what I think. And as I said, don't expose any underlying truth, but sometimes there is an underlying truth. Like, for example, if somebody steals money, they often act angry. They're a thief. If they're stealing from you, sometimes they act nasty with you. And you don't know it. You don't know, you really can't get it. Now, this really takes place with teenagers who steal money from their mother's purses, which is a common thing. Oops, I hear that sound, Michael. All right, let's see. I'll come back. This the drop sound just came on. Make sure you're in there. All right. Just stay there. Are you there? Okay, good. Okay, hi there. Okay, great. You know, just that little sound. I'm here, you're there, Michael. So so one of the things you could do is you could say to yourself, you know, maybe this is me at fault, maybe it is. But also, when somebody gets angry at you, sometimes it's like a dog. It's like a dog who barks at you when he's done something wrong, like ripped up your slippers, when they get nasty. Sometimes they don't run away, they just get nasty in response. Sometimes children who steal from their mother's purses act nasty with their parents, almost as if to distract them. So very often, the angriest people are people who are stealing. And this is the problem. You have to deal with larceny. You have to deal with something else going on behind that anger that's coming at you. And you have to be really the wisdom of Solomon to kind of unearth what's really happening. That's why you can't always respond to the content of an anger with the content of it, you know? Let's take a look at what you're saying and we'll break it all down. Armand DeMille, you know, I do want to take some of your calls on this. 212-209-2900. Two other things I would recommend to you when you look at somebody who's angry. Look if they're very nervous. Sometimes people get angry when they get nervous. Like if somebody drinks a big cup of coffee, you know, and then suddenly they get hit with all that caffeine, they can become very nervous, and then they get irritable. We call it irritable, but it could be angry. And if you're in their crosshairs, boom, you get it. Look for depression with anger. Sometimes anger is a way of stopping you from falling into the abyss when you're depressed. Depressed people will very often scream out. They're screaming help, but they do it in the form of getting angry at you. So the more you look for it, the more you could understand, and the more help you could be both to yourself and to them. 212-209-2900. Remember, tenderness will eventually be the solution. The eventual solution of everybody who's angry is tenderness. That's all the way down the line. How you get to that tenderness is not easy. It won't work if you do it right away. It may not work when you do it right away. But your eventual goal, if you have a child who's having a meltdown and they're screaming at you because you won't buy them a toy, at the end of all that, you want to be able to put your arms around that child and say, you know, honey, even though I can't give you everything in the world, I love you so much. And that child will feel that love. And they'll be okay. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Armand, thank you for bringing this topic. I was just thinking about it on my own all day. I need your advice about my relationship. At this point, everybody telling me to break up with a man, but I don't want to do it so without giving him chance. And he's angry, as you describe. Everything you describe is him. And at this point, I just wanted to tell him to, if he raises voice one more time, this is it. But listening to you, it seems like people need more time, yeah? There has to be some work on it.
Well, let me ask you a little work on it that might be helpful to you. Do you know what happens to you when you get angry? See, you're somebody who's not very good at expressing your anger, right?
I kind of forgot. Yeah, I used to know, and it was gone. Yeah.
You mean you don't feel anger anymore?
I do feel anger, but I try to repress it. And
yes, and this is a problem. Now, here's what happens sometimes. Sometimes people who repress their anger hook up with or find boyfriends who express their anger, and it's almost like he's your hired help. Like he's expressing the anger that you're not feeling. And then a collaboration exists between the two of them where one person gets angry and the other person is the nice person. Now, you're clearly the nice person. I'm sure everybody looks at you and says, oh, how could you stand being such a victim of this person? What they don't understand is that you're trying to work out your own issues with anger. And what I would recommend, I mean, I understand, you know, it sounds like a simple case of drop the guy or don't drop the guy. Mm-hmm. But what I think this suggests is that you have some work to do on uncovering and dealing more naturally with your own anger. And that you could do with a good therapist.
But what do I do with him? At this point, I don't remember anything good about him. I'm just afraid of him.
No, I understand. He's of course, you do whatever you do to have to protect yourself. You know, I mean, that's clear. But I'm going to wind up giving you the advice that everybody gives you that you don't follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be another one of those people. I like you. I say to you, take care of it yourself. See a counselor. Take a look underneath it, and you're going to find that there's a piece of him inside you that you've yet to discover. And once you discover it, you'll be in much healthier, clearer relationships. What's your name?
Anna.
What is it, Anna?
Yeah.
Anna, if you ever need help with it, let me know. You know, send me an email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thank you.
Sure, Anna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that's one another issue about anger that I wanted to show you. It's about the anger of the bad guy and the good guy. Whenever you see somebody who is a very angry person and they're coupled with somebody who's a very nice person, you can pretty much assume that the angry person is the hired gun for the nice person. So I'll give you an example. If you have a couple and you have somebody who is not safe with her anger and she has a husband who's very angry, she will get her husband to get angry at people by saying things to him. It's real simple. You know, John from that other couple looked at me funny the other day. I think he was looking at me sexually. Well, that's all you got to do. If you got somebody who's an angry type, boom, you trigger them right off. You know, it's easy to do. So one of the things I suggest that whenever you look at two people where one person seems to be the aggressor and the other person seems to be the victim, with the exception of with physical abuse and physical intimidation, but where it seems like you have this victim and innocence, always look at the innocence as being the real motivator for the aggression. It's very complex, but it's an interesting way to look at people. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
I had something happen to me. I don't know if it fits into the category that you're talking about. But as you started to talk, my anger arose again. This is after a year. I would like to tell you this story. If it's inappropriate, just stop me. My husband was dying in a hospital, and he was there for 4 weeks, and he died 2 weeks later. While he was dying, I developed pneumonia, and I was in a hospital bed on the same floor, but quite sick. And when my husband died, my children came, they arranged for the funeral. No big deal, we didn't go anyplace. I got a 3-hour pass from the hospital with a nightgown and a heavy coat. I stood at the cemetery with my grandchildren and daughter and son, and that was it. About 2 weeks later, when I got better, a friend, in quotes, said to me, "I'm very angry at you." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because you did not invite me to the funeral." I became so enraged that all I could think about was to say, I can't answer that question. You know what was going on, and there's no way I can answer you. I'm not going to answer you. And I want you to think about it, and you decide if I was wrong, or if you were wrong, you call me. If not, forget about it. I have not heard from her. That's the end of the relationship.
Yeah, now it's a funny thing. What's your name?
Edith.
Edith. You see, when people die, it is a very traumatic thing.
Oh, yes.
And funny things happen at a person's death. One of the things that happen is people fight over the possessions of the dead person. So they'll say, you know, oh, I want his ring. No, I want his ring. And families fight with each other, and sometimes brothers and sisters separate from each other for life over something like fighting over a blanket. Oh, it was my blanket. No, it was my blanket. It was my toy. No, it was my toy. And they separate for life. Now, what is this all about? What happens at a funeral when a person takes on another person? I knew a man who died, and his wife was with him right through to the end, but he owed a little money to somebody. And this somebody he owed money to was his friend. So his friend goes over to the wife and says, you know, when he died, he owed me money. And the wife says, but I can't afford to pay you. And he says, well, I'm going to take you to court. This is at the funeral. This is right at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening is everybody who gets involved in this kind of chaos is denying their own feelings of loss about the person who died. The reason you're holding on to the anger is not because of that person, because obviously she was out of her mind for be doing this. You know what I mean? And I mean out of her mind, not in her mind. She had left her mind. She's grieving your husband as well. She felt bad about his death. And she felt bad about it on some level, and she felt bad about her relationship with him on some level. And in order for her to deal with this separation, she gets mad at you for not inviting her to the funeral. I mean, but it's a silly thing. She could go visit the grave anytime she wants, right? Or the site, or wherever it was.
Of course, absolutely.
So you're carrying the anger towards her is your way of holding on to a piece of your husband. You see, it's your way of keeping one little agitation, because you want to know something. What's your name, Edith?
Yeah.
Edith, I bet you're pissed off at your husband for dying.
No.
You never felt it?
At times.
Yeah.
At times, but generally speaking.
Yeah, you see.
He was sick for so long, he suffered so much that there was a kind of a relief in a way.
Sure, and you know what I mean? If somebody is sick for so long and they suffer for so long and they die and they abandon you, it's natural. Part of the natural grieving process is to get angry at them as well. And what we do is we interrupt that little part of the grieving process by getting angry at somebody else attached to the death of your husband. So, as a shrink, I say to you, it is not about her. It's about you and him. And what you got to do is go to the burial site and stomp on the ground or blow in the wind. Or what happened to his body, by the way? Is he in the ground?
It's in the ground.
Good. What did he hate in a liquid? Did he hate soda? What did he hate? Did he hate champagne?
He didn't like this woman, and he would have said, I'm glad you didn't invite her.
So he didn't like her. So we've got this anger working. Good, you proved my point. You're carrying his anger towards the lady. And this way you keep him alive. Oh, it's so nice. You see what I mean? You're keeping him alive by perpetuating his anger.
I'm sorry. You haven't convinced me.
I don't mean to convince you, but there's something.
No, I wish that I could stop being angry at her.
Well, bring
her. She was, at one point, such a close friend. How could she not understand what I was suffering?
It's not about her. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Bring a bottle of champagne over to the gravesite. You know, pour a little in a glass. Pour a little on the gravesite. Wish goodbye to your husband. Mm-hmm. Tell him you love him.
Thank you.
Sure he is. 212-209-2900. It could be a non-alcoholic champagne. Could be apple champagne. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand, help.
Sure.
I am the perpetually pissed off guy at home.
Yeah, always nasty, right?
Not always. I try not to be, but it comes up from time to time. It rears its ugly head.
Yeah. And are you a nervous guy in general?
I think I am.
Yeah, you guy who's high strung in general?
I would say so, yeah.
Move around fast?
Yeah, I would say so.
So you see, that's what happens. You know, if you take anybody who's high-strung in general, like if you were to take an, I mean, not to compare you to a mouse, but one of the studies we used to do, if you take a nervous mouse, if you take a mouse who's agitated, and you put them, if they're nervous types, and you put them in a cage with other mice, what they do is they wind up attacking the other mice, even though they have no bad feelings about the other mice. They wind up doing it because they're carrying all this agitation inside. What we got to do is get to the source of your agitation inside and learn how to turn down the thermostat when you go home.
I think I know what that is.
And what do you think it is?
It's my relationship with my wife. I feel that we're complete opposites.
You know, I'm willing to bet that complete opposites is not a very bad thing. I'm willing to bet that it really has to do with your relationship with yourself. I think you're not given to yourself. I think you're not doing good for yourself. And I don't think it's so much about her, even though it does sound like that's the issue. Sometimes when people are really unhappy with themselves, they don't like the way they're living, they don't like the way they treat themselves, they don't like how nervous they are, they kind of pick on the person they love the most and say, you see, it's your fault.
Is that projection?
Yeah. You know a little bit about this business.
Oh, a little bit. I've listened to you for years and years.
Well, it may be time to do something about it. You know, it may be time to search up an alternative and find some other way of dealing with it.
I'm tempted to finally write her a letter or something that I've always wanted to write. And never
well, you did. Know, I'll tell you what you do. Here's an answer. Write me a letter. Write the letter you would always like to write her and do not send it to her. And then send me that letter.
I will do that. And
try
that. You better be ready for this.
Well, no, you know, I'll tell you something. It's a very interesting experience. I've done this with a lot of people. But you must not send a letter if you're going to write it to me.
Oh, no. I'll send it to you.
Send it to me.
Sure.
And you're going to find just the very act of writing the letter, you know, and letting it all hang out. And you do not send it to her because
okay.
We don't want to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to me. Maybe I'll have some insight and I'll let you know what I see. What's
all right,
your name?
Armand.
What's your name?
Robert.
Robert, nice to talk to you again.
You too, Armand. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, bye.
And this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You can send me an email, Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at brainlink.com, BRAINLINK.com. The website, which is very interesting, has a lot of interesting things, articles in it, is thepositivemind.com. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., not with Roberta Hagi, who's in Italy at the moment, but I'll just have to come up with something good for you. Back with you tomorrow, my friends.